Your online feature will begin in just a moment. We have an internet newsletter here at BBN that we would like to send you. At bbnradio.org, click Updates to find out more. bbnradio.org, click Updates.
This evening, as we conclude Teen Week on BBN's Conference Pulpit, we have featured some outstanding men of God who have preached from the Word of God and have addressed issues pertaining to young people. Tonight is no exception as we feature a message from Jim Shetler. He is the Vice President of Student Affairs at West Coast Baptist College. He teaches Bible, counseling, local church discipleship, youth ministry, and the Christian home. Dr. Shetler served for 25 years, ministering primarily to young people through Christian education before accepting the pastorate of First Baptist Church in Santa Maria, California, where he served for 6 years. Dr. Shetler's excitement for the Lord and heart's cry to bring the lost to faith in Jesus Christ permeates his preaching, teaching, and outreach. Here is Jim Shetler as we conclude Teen Week on BBN with the message, How to Roll the Stones Away.
John chapter number 11. John chapter 11. Now, I want to begin by telling you what I'm going to preach on. I'm going to talk to you guys and challenge you guys about something you need to start doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's living for Him. You need to get your eyes off yourself, and you need to realize that this is the generation God has placed you in, young person. And today's message is not about you. It's about all them that are outside this worship center. And you need to begin to get your eyes focused, not on yourself. Praise the Lord for the relationship and what you've been given in the Lord. But now it's time to look to the harvest. Now it's time to see you doing something in a world that needs what you believe so badly. And that's what I want to talk to you all about this morning. Now, a couple of things I want to share. This is a little bit of a, not a danger, but there is something that is a prerequisite to this message. And it's something that I'm not going to take as a given. We're going to look at a passage in John chapter 11 right now. And by the way, if you're sitting next to someone who doesn't have a Bible, share your Bible with them. I really want them to see this passage. I want to tell you where I got this message. I got this message years ago in my devotions. And young people, there's a concern that I have. And the concern that I have is this, that you will take this message and use this message without having a relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to, first of all, develop that relationship with the Lord before you're going to do what I'm talking about today. Many of you have that relationship, though. Many of you, every day, or almost every day of your life, you open God's Word and you get something out of it. Now, it's way more than just having devotions, but having your devotions is absolutely necessary for spiritual growth. It's where you get your food. It's where you find your map. It's where you develop your time alone with God. The message I'm about to preach is not going to work if you do not have a relationship with Christ. So I think it's interesting. I'm preaching from a passage of Scripture that one morning. Now, I'm going to tell you this. The morning I got this, this was like life-changing for me. Now, not every day that I have my devotions is like, whoa, man, I get stuff like this every day in my devotions. No. There's many times it's a little dry, where I just go like, I got to read. Now, I will tell you this. I'm 58 years old. I've been having my devotions every day for about 40 years now. I never leave God's Word without something. Okay, I can use this today. All right, even though I know this before, I've heard that 1,000 times. That was good. I need that for today. You always leave your devotions with something. But once in a while, I mean, you open up, you find a treasure box. Well, that's what I found that morning in John chapter 11. This is the story of Jesus coming to the tomb of Lazarus. Now, Lazarus has two sisters, Mary and Martha. So you got Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and they're all siblings. Lazarus is sick, and he's sick unto death. And Jesus gets word of it. Hey, Jesus, guess what? Your buddy Lazarus is really sick. If you're gonna see him again, you better get over there and heal him because you're the healer. Jesus doesn't go. His disciples are a little concerned about that too. It's like, hey, man, Rabboni, I thought you liked Lazarus. Why aren't we going to see Lazarus? And then Jesus finally goes with his disciples. A little late, Lazarus dies. Well, Mary and Martha, just to be perfectly honest, are not real happy and they're a little disappointed. It's like, wow, you could have healed Lazarus and you let Lazarus die. Well, there's a reason for that, because the Lord's going to prove a resurrection. And that is, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. And so he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, which is really cool. But they don't know that. So he comes, Martha's a little upset, Mary's kind of bewildered, and Jesus comes to the grave. So I'm reading my devotions, and I've read this story before. I had preached through John before. And I come to John chapter 11, I read verse 38, and it says this. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave. And a stone lay upon it. All right. I'm having my devotions that morning. I read that. I go, okay, he comes to the grave. The grave's got the stone upon it. That's all right. He's going to raise him from the dead. And then I read verse 39. Jesus said, and I know there's not a lot of us in here. Oh, that's a good crowd in here. Everyone together. What did Jesus say? Give me the next five words. Everyone together. Jesus said, okay, take ye away the stone. I'm thinking, what's the deal with that? In just a moment, he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. Do you think, help me out, do you think Jesus has the power to move the stone away? Oh, yeah. If he's got power to raise Lazarus from the dead, he's obviously got power to move the stone away. Well, then, young people, why doesn't he move the stone away himself? Just do one of these little things. Or just go like this and the stone's gone. Or even better yet, have Lazarus come right through the stone. I mean, that would be cool, wouldn't it? Just have Lazarus come right pounded right through the stone. The Lord could have done whatever. Now let me tell you, the Lord doesn't need these men to move that stone out of the way. Well, I'm sitting there having my devotions, and I'm thinking, that's really cool, Lord. You're going to let them become a part of the miracle. Which is a really good point. He's going to bring those guys into the miracle. Let me tell you this, young people. God does not need you, but he wants you. He doesn't need you. Oh, he's not sitting up in heaven. Oh, man, I got that kid at youth conference. But mom and dad are praying. Oh, this is it. This is my only chance. That senior high girl. I got to have. Oh, she's got so much talent. He's got so much ability. Oh, I got to have that. No. God doesn't need one of us in this room. But God's willing to use us to be a part of the miracle. I've never looked at it and say, well, hey, God, it's Shetler. Hey, you need me, don't you? God doesn't need me at all. I'm amazed that the Lord will use me to move stones out of the way and to help. So I thought, well, that's a good point, but it gets better. So Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, oh, Lord, oh, you don't want to do this. Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he'd been dead for 4 days. You're a little late. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone. They moved the stone out of the way so that Jesus could get to a dead person. From the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Now, verse 43 is like the coolest verse in the world, okay? This is what it says. And when thus he had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus! Come forth. Now, there's an old Southern preacher, Mays Jackson, that used to preach, it was good that he cried out Lazarus or everyone would have come forth. And I believe that's true, young people. If he would have said, come forth, everyone dead would have came out of the grave. He says, Lazarus, come forth. Well, look what happens. So I'm reading this. I'm going, oh, this is really good. Verse 44. And he that was dead came forth, bound, hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Okay, so Lazarus comes out of the tomb like this. He's all wrapped up, and he's like this. Notice the second thing the Lord tells him to do. Look at, he looks at those around. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Help him take off all those grave clothes. He can't move. He's in bondage. He's alive, but he's got all these grave clothes on him. Go help him. All right? I thought the same thing again, young people. I thought, you know, why doesn't he just do one of these little deals and all the linen come? He could have the thing laundered by the time it got to the bottom. I mean, he doesn't need these people to have, he could have had Lazarus just walk right out of that, all those grave clothes. And young people, that day in my devotions, I saw something that I went, oh, this is good. The two things that the Lord asked those men to do at the grave is exactly the two purposes of the New Testament church. The only reason why we have church, the only reason why you have a youth group, is exactly what happened at that grave. Notice number one, they moved the stone out of the way to get Jesus to a dead person. You know what I call that? Evangelism. You know what evangelism is? Evangelism is moving stones out of the way to get Jesus to dead people that are on their way to hell. That's what evangelism is, young person. You're moving stones out of the way. And then they're taking the grave clothes off. You know what I call that? Discipleship. Discipleship is helping a believer take off their old life and live in newness of life. All discipleship is helping somebody else take off their former life and live their new life. Young people, that morning in my devotions, I'm looking at, okay, this is the New Testament church. The only reason why your church exists is to move stones out of the way to get Jesus to dead people, and number two, to disciple them. Evangelism and discipleship. Could we all say those together? Evangelism and discipleship. The only reason why you have a youth group is to evangelize the lost in your community. And number two, to disciple those that are there, encourage them, edify them, and build them up. Hey, I got an easy question for you. What's your youth group doing in evangelism and discipleship? What's your church doing in evangelism and discipleship? Because the only two reasons why your church exists in your community is to move stones out of the way to get dead people to Jesus Christ, and then to help people grow in their faith by taking off the old grave clothes. Well, we don't have time for discipleship today, though I would absolutely love to preach on that. And I even teach a class here called Local Church Discipleship. That is where my heart is. But I want to talk to you today about how to roll stones away. How to roll stones away. And we're going to look at four ways to roll stones away in your community. Number one, with creativity. With creativity. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. The first way to roll stones away is with creativity. Begin to ask God to give you creative ways to do it. Now, this is a great story. This is a story where Jesus is in a house, and the house is absolutely packed with people. By the way, most of the people that are in there, they really are against Christ. You got all the Pharisees in there. You got Sadducees in there. You got scribes in there. You got lawyers in there. None of them. They're all trying to trap Jesus. But you got a full house. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 5, look at verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there weren't Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, Men brought in a bed a man. By the way, you guys did good a couple moments ago. I'm going to need your help again. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and everyone in this room, the next three words, and what? They. Okay, that was really bad. That was really bad, okay? Everyone together, and they what? They sought means. What does that mean? They tried to figure out different ways to get the guy on the stretcher to Jesus. And the place was packed. So when they brought him to the Lord, they whoa, man. Look at all these. How do we? Hey, excuse me. Pardon me. We've got someone we got to get to. Pardon me. Would you move out? Those scribes ain't moving. Those Pharisees. Could you? So they start thinking of ways. Hey, you know what? Why don't we throw a few shekels down? They'll all run for the shekels, and then that didn't work. They begin to seek ways. Hey, guys, I got an idea. Let's do the window thing. Let's get them through the window. Hey, that's a great idea. Hey, the houses don't have windows. Okay, well, that ain't going to work. They sought means. I love this. Hey, guys, I got an idea. What do we think? If we take our buddy, if we take him up on the roof and we tear the tiles off the roof, we can lower him down. By the way, do you ever think about this? Do you ever think about the guy that's in the stretcher? You know what? I'm okay, guys. I'm all right. You know what? It's okay. I can't walk, but at least I'm alive. No, this is going to work. We're going to hoist you up there, and then we're going to hoist you down. No, guys, you know what? I'm okay. Just take me back home. We're fine. No. We're getting you to Jesus. They sought means. You know what they did? They came up with creative ways. They came up with ideas on how to reach people. Now, young people, I want to tell you this. You need to pray today in this auditorium. Lord, I want to start rolling stones away. God, give me a spirit of creativity. You are not using what you have. There's three things you ought to ask. What do you have? What can you do? What will get their attention? What do you have? What can you do? What will get their attention? Every one of you young people have something. Every one of you young people can do something. And I'll tell you what. There's young people and there's people in your community that are dying and going on their way to hell because you're not seeking means. Ask the Lord for creativity. Let me give you an example. How many of you girls in here? How many guys in here? I don't care. Play volleyball. Raise your hand. Play volleyball. All right. You know what? Volleyball is an incredible tool for the gospel. Hey, this ball isn't about you. This ball can be used to reach people for Jesus Christ. That's one of the things that we do at volleyball camp. We teach them how to bump, spike, set. We teach them all that stuff. But there's a reason. God didn't give you volleyball talent for you. God gave you volleyball talent to lead people to Jesus Christ. I was on a missions trip in Brazil with me and another man, and we were visiting one of our single missionaries. By the way, there's really no such thing as a single missionary because the Lord goes with you. But she was working with some others, and she wasn't married, so we call her a single missionary. Her name was Sheila. And we were walking down one of the streets in Campo Grande, Brazil, and we're walking down one of the streets, and we come to this empty lot. It's about the size of this platform up here, and it's overgrown with everything, bushes and little trees and everything. And we're walking by, and she says, Pastor Shetler, Mr. Carlson, yeah, couldn't you see a volleyball court right here? I said, well, yeah, I guess. She said, volleyball is huge in Brazil. If we had a volleyball court here, I really believe a lot of teenagers would come, and we could see them get saved, and we could witness to them after we played. I said, wow, that sounds good. You think it's really a good idea? And I said, yeah, man, have you talked to the, oh, I already talked to the neighbors. They said that we could have this lot to put a volleyball court. And I said, wow, well, there's a great idea. She said, before you got here, I got two machetes. Oh, yeah? And my net just got in from the States, and I got a couple balls, and I think we can use those two trees. I think we could clear this out right now, and I think some young people would help us. Like right now? Yeah, like right now. We went back to where we were staying. We changed our clothes, and we came back out, and for the next 2 to 3 hours, we cleaned that whole lot up. And there was at least 5, 6, 7 teenagers that came out and cleaned it up. We had a volleyball court set up in 3 hours, and we're playing volleyball in that little patch of property. And we're doing that. And after it was all done, we all got together. Sheila gave her testimony in Portuguese, of course, and she witnessed to them. And guess what happened, young people? Guess what happened? Nobody got saved. Nobody got saved that day. But she writes us letters in the weeks to come, giving us volleyball court reports of teenager after teenager that gets saved at that volleyball court. Young people, I want to tell you something. You got to get creative. You got to not just, God's given you these talents. Use them. Go down to a park with a volleyball, and some of you girls, some of you guys, go down, put up a court, and start getting people to come and play, and then afterwards witness to them. Hey, let me give you something else, a basketball. Now you can take an old basketball hoop, and you can go out to a park with a basketball, and you can use that for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. You think that God gave you that jump shot for you. He didn't give you that jump shot for you. He gave you that jump shot to use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, listen, basketball isn't, you could take a ball down to a park and get a group of kids together. By the way, some of you that are older, some of you juniors and seniors, you're pretty good ballers. You're pretty good basketball players. Go down to a park with some little kids that'll come around, teach them how to play basketball, teach them how to dribble, and then share with them the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, use basketball for the glory of the Lord. Let me tell you a great story about football. Now, I happen to just absolutely love football, and football's like my all-time favorite. Well, I was a pastor at church that had a pretty large Christian school, and at our Christian school, we had 8-man football. Well, we played one Christian school. Everyone else we played were small public schools. All we did was play public schools. And I said, so how are we using football for Jesus Christ? Well, we're teaching them character principles, and we're teaching them teamwork, and we are. Football is phenomenal for that. But I said, hey, wait a second. We're playing these public schools. We need to reach out to them. Well, there was a school named Cuyama High School, that we hadn't beaten in 11 years. And I mean, and we would get killed by Cuyama. Well, we had a pretty good team 1 year, and I said, you know what? Let's call up Cuyama. We played Saturday afternoon games because we didn't have lights. So we played mostly our games under lights, but when they were home games, they were Saturday afternoons. And so I said, let's do this. Let's invite Cuyama to play, and then after the game, we will have a dinner. Now, well, the one thing that we've got in Santa Maria was tri-tip. It is the best ever. So I said, we'll give them a tri-tip barbecue for the cheerleaders, for the parents, for the coaches, and for the players. And then we'll have some of our players witness to them, and we'll give them the gospel. And I remember the Christian school, they just looked at me like, you can't do that. First of all, it's public school. You can't do that. Well, the public school's on our property. We can do that, okay? And so we called up the administrator. We called up the coach, and they said, you're going to give us a free? I don't think they were so much interested in the motivational speaker, but they said, you're going to give us a free dinner? Oh, yeah, tri-tip. Cheerleaders, parents, everyone that comes. You got that. Well, sure enough, they all came. But the cool thing is, we beat them that year. Now, I wasn't sure about halfway through the fourth quarter, it looked like we were going to win this game. We haven't beaten them in 11 years. I'm thinking, you know, Lord, it may not be good that we beat them. If we beat them, they may not want to stay, or that we may not be able to win. But you know what? I think the Lord put it all together. We beat them for the first time in 11 years. Afterwards, we had our players. My son was one of the players. He got up and preached. I just told Drew, I said, oh, Drew, just give a testimony. Drew starts talking about hell, and these kids are going to split hell wide open, you know? And I'm going like, okay, that's good. You know, that'll work. You know? We have a couple other guys give testimonies. I get up and preach a simple gospel presentation in 10 minutes. We have them all bow their heads and close their eyes. Two cheerleaders raised their hand that they trusted Christ. Two parents raised their hand that they trusted Christ. And six Cuyama Bears raised their hand that they trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. And I'm going like, yeah, this is cool. This is way better than beating them on the football. Though that was good. This is way better than that. And young people, I want to tell you this. We went back in December to play them in basketball. My wife and I are sitting on the bleachers. These two Cuyama guys come over, and they come right over. And they mean like, I mean, Cuyama and Valley Christian was kind of like, you know. These two guys come on over, and they said, are you the guy that preached at that football banquet thing? And I said, yeah. Me and him, we both received Jesus as our Savior that day. I went, yeah, that's good stuff. Hey, listen, man, it's not about the pigskin. It's about eternal souls. Take what God has given you and use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me tell you what we did here. Over Easter weekend on Saturday, we did this thing called the hunt. We took Easter eggs. Now, you're going to love this. We took Easter eggs. Now, Brother Shetler, you know, these things really don't have anything to do with the Easter story. They do here, because here's what we did. We took an Easter egg hunt to bring boys and girls to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,186 people visited 10 parks around the Antelope Valley where 459 college students were out there doing games, playing things, doing things with young people, and then giving them the gospel. And that weekend, we saw 130 children and parents receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Now, I'm telling you something, young person. That's what it's all about. What it's all about is going out and sharing the gospel with whatever God's given you. Man, you guys could go to a park somewhere. You know, this could work in our area. We got a really cool park. As a youth group, we could put on a hunt. We could put on one of these things. We could call back to West Coast, see what they do. And we could do this in our area and then have a children's thing. The parents were the thing. I went to 3 of the 10. I only had time to get to 3 of them. And I'm just telling, I'm sitting there, and these are kids, for me, I'm going, yeah, these are kids that are in my classroom. I'm teaching these college students, and then they go out to the park, and they're leading people to Jesus Christ with Easter eggs, you know? I mean, it doesn't get better than that. So I'm sitting there, and I'm watching this whole thing, and the thing that touched my heart, oh, to see all those little kids, and to see our college students giving the gospel, but the parents, I mean, those parents want to know what those kids are hearing. And those parents are standing in the back. Those parents are standing everywhere. And the coolest thing. I mean, so after the one park I was at, Scotty preaches. He gets done preaching, and he gives an invitation if anyone wants to receive Christ. And we dealt with every one of those children. Everyone had a counselor. So I'm standing behind the whole thing. Scotty's preaching, and there are parents everywhere. There's a man sitting on a picnic bench, a father of one of the kids. And so he gives this invitation. And I'm looking to see the kids raise their hand. And here this man over at the picnic bench raises his hand. And I love this. I'm going to talk to that guy. I start walking over to talk to that guy. Before I get there, a college guy is already on it. And he leads the guy to the Lord. And I'm just thinking, that is so cool. You can take Easter eggs. You can take whatever God's given you. And young people, you've got to ask the Lord for creativity. Now, I spent a lot of time on this point, but I'm telling you, this is a big point. You know what? You did not come to this youth conference for you.
Yeah, I really did.
Well, then you need to change that. And you need to start rolling stones away. And you need to leave here saying, God, give me a spirit of creativity. What do you have? What can you do? What will get attention in your high school? How many of you right now, you go to public school, stand up. Stand up. You go to public school, stand up. Wherever you are. Some of you just woke up again. All right? All right. Now, look at that. Gang, do you have any concept, the mission field that all of you have? There is no way for me to get into public schools. You guys are there every day. You guys are on the greatest mission field ever. Ask the Lord for creativity. Thank you. You may be seated. How many of you go to Christian school? Stand up if you go to Christian school. You go to Christian school, stand up. Okay, that is definitely more. Not a lot more, but a lot more. But there is a good number more. Now listen,
You say, well, yeah, those public high school kids, they need to start reaching others. Well, how about you, Christian school? What are you doing in your community? Come together as a group. Do something for the Lord Jesus Christ. If I was going to a Christian school, I would be asking, Lord, give me creativity. By the way, thank you, maybe seated. Did you see the picture? Did I put the picture up of the violin and the piano? I missed that one, didn't I? There we go, thanks. Music is a phenomenal tool. I got to tell you about Sheila. I got to tell you one more thing because it was the coolest thing. So I'm with Sheila in Brazil, and she says, the next day after we do the volleyball thing, Sheila says, Brother Shetler, Pastor Shetler, we're going to have a concert. We're going to have a concert? What kind of concert? A piano concert. Well, who's playing? She says, I am. I said, Sheila, do you play the piano? She says, I know 5 songs. I said, you're kidding me. She said, yeah, I've already handed out flyers. We're going to do it Thursday night, and it's going to be in my garage of my condo. The garage of your condo? Yeah. I've invited all my neighbors to come. Well, sure enough, that night, we go in there. The little garage is packed with people. I mean, it's just absolutely, there's a little stand-up piano, and Sheila gets up, she plays the piano, and then Mr. Carlson gives a testimony. She plays the piano 2 more songs. She gets up and gives a testimony. She plays the piano again, and I get up to preach through an interpreter. And I give this simple gospel message. 38 people in there, 4 people trust Jesus Christ as their Savior, her neighbors. And I'm going like, man, you can use music. You can use whatever God's given you, young person. You need to start living not for yourself. Ask God for a spirit of creativity to start rolling stones away. Number two, we got to get going. Number two, with confidence. With confidence. Now, we're in Luke chapter 5. You guys got to see this. Look at verse 19. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst of them before Jesus. Okay, we already read that. Look at verse 20. All right, last time, I'm going to need you, but I need your help on this, all right? Everyone, really loud, just shout it out. And when he, everyone together, what's the next 3 words? Hey, that was good. Saw their faith. Now, how do you see faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Jesus saw their faith. All right, I'm going to show you a picture. This is a picture of the hunt. And I want to show you one of our college girls leading a little girl to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to show you something in this picture. Her compassion in her eye. No. That's not what I want you to see. You know what I want you guys to see? This is so cool. You know what I want you guys all to see? I want you to see these. And by the way, they're the same ones. You want us to see the chairs? Yep, I want you to see the chairs. What in the world are these chairs doing in that park? Why are those chairs in those park?
Well, because they're going to need them for somebody to sit on?
Yep.
They're going to need someone to sit in them.
What does that show you? Why did they bring hundreds of chairs to 10 parks? Because they believed someone was going to sit in those chairs. When our college students went out that day, they knew someone's going to sit in those chairs. There's going to be boys and girls sitting in those chairs, and they're going to get saved. You know why nobody's getting saved in your youth group? You don't believe people can get saved today. You teenagers, if you don't have faith at 16, you ain't going to have it at 60. Let me tell you that right now. Some of you young people need to have confidence. You know what? God could move in my school. God could do something in my community. And you know what? If your church is stinking dead because of the adults, well, then you start trusting in Jesus Christ. And go back from this youth conference with a spirit of fire. And you know what? I have a confidence that we could reach some people for Jesus Christ. You know the reason Christianity is so shriveling up in America? It's because we don't believe God can work anymore. Oh, you guys all cheer and scream. Brother Miller preaches about a God who created you. Yeah, go, 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 God. And that's easy to do in an auditorium of 2,500 people that all believe in creationism. But take what you believe into a world that needs you so bad, young person, and have confidence. Jesus saw their faith. You know what? I'm healing this guy. And I'll tell you why I'm healing this guy. Because the four guys carrying him absolutely believe that I'm going to heal this guy. Young person, I am telling you, you are only faith away from seeing an incredible revival in your community. You are only a step of faith away from seeing your unsaved friends come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And let me tell you this. Some of you brought unsaved teenagers to this conference, and they still may be in this room right now. Have you ever witnessed to them?
Well, that's the job of the youth pastor.
No, it is not. That is your friend. That if you're in a bus accident on the way home and they go into eternity, man, I'm not sure she was saved. Why are you not sure that she is saved? Have you not talked to her yet? Have you not witnessed to that kid yet? Hey, young people, if teenagers are going to be reached, it's not going to be through really cool lights and a really nifty youth pastor. It's going to be by you guys. You guys need to have confidence. You need to believe God's going to do something. God, I believe God. They had confidence. And when Jesus saw their faith, I love the chairs. We brought all these chairs that are in here and more. We had them in 10 different parks. Why'd you put all those chairs in those parks? Because we believed people were going to sit in them. And God said, you know what? They're putting all this stuff. They're doing all these eggs. I'm going to work in that park because of their faith. Number one, how do you roll stones away? With creativity. Number two, with confidence. Number three, with character. With character. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, ye are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost his savor, it is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Now, let me tell you something about salt. Salt can never stop being salt. Salt, once sodium and chloride come together, it is salt forever and ever and ever and ever. So salt will always be salt. Good point of your preservation of your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. You are always going to be salt. But there is something about salt. If you mix salt with dirt, you no longer can use the salt because of the dirt that's in it. If I take a salt shaker and I put some dirt inside of it, you go, hey, man, that's no good anymore. The salt is still salt, but the dirt has made it useless. Now, young people, can I tell you this? Let me ask this. How many of you in this room know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You're on your way to heaven. Would you raise your hand? Okay. You're all salt. And by the way, that's cool to see. Let's just do that again. That's just cool to see that, all right? It's like a salt shaker in here. You're each a grain of salt, all right? Now, I'm going to tell you where you become useless is when you put the world in your life. You see, this is what we do not understand. Oh, man, it's killing us. We think, hey, you know what? If we're going to reach that world out there, we got to become like them. We got to do their music. We got to dress like them because, Brother Scheller, they're going to think we're from another planet. We are. It's called heaven. Okay? We're citizens of heaven. We are from a different, we have a different citizenship. Man, I know I'm a citizen of the United States of America, but I want to tell you, I have another citizenship, and it's in heaven. You say, so, okay, boy, this, I don't think I'm going to like this point, Brother Scheller. So we got to go back and dress weird and do things weird. All right, here's what I'm talking about. I lived in Israel for 5 months on a kibbutz. We lived in the Jordan Valley, and we lived right with the Israelis. And every day we worked with the Israelis. We were a group of volunteers called Baptist for Israel Institute. And there were 46 of us on a kibbutz of over 600 people. So we were a little less than 10% of the whole kibbutz. Everyone wanted the Baptist team because the Baptist team are the ones that work the hardest. We were the ones that every day they fought over us. We want the Baptists in the olives. Give us some Baptists in the bananas. We need a few of the Baptists in the kitchen. We need Baptists working in the dates. We need Baptists in the laundry. We want the Baptists. Why? Because we work so hard. Give us those Baptists. We want those Baptists. So we had a great testimony. Everyone wanted the Baptists. And I remember one day I was with two of our college girls, and we were in the bananas. And we were working on the bananas. You always have Israelis with you because we were on the Jordan River, right on the border of Jordan. So there would always be Israelis there with guns. So we were working in the bananas, and we took a hafsaka. We took a little break. And we were cutting the bananas and bringing the bunches out and everything like that. We took a little break. And normally we always, you know, the Israelis loved us.
But this day, these two Israelis are sitting off by themselves. And we're over, we're taking our little break, and they would look over at us and they would start laughing. And I'm going like, and one of the girls said, "Hey, Jim, I think they're laughing at us. I don't know what they'd be laughing at us about." And then they would look over and they'd laugh at us. Well, I got up and I said, "Zeef, Safrir, what are you guys laughing at?" "Oh, nothing, Jim, nothing, Jim. No, it's okay, Jim, it's okay. Time to get back to work." No, it's not time to get back to work. "Zeef, what are you laughing at?" "Safrir, you guys laughing at us, aren't you?" "Oh, no, Jim, it's okay, it's okay, it's all right. I said, "Zeef, what are you laughing at?" "Oh, Jim, you Baptist." "Us Baptist what?" "Oh, you Baptist. We don't understand you." I said, "What don't you understand?" "You Baptist, your girls dress so funny. They dress different. They don't dress like the others." "Yeah, they don't." "You Baptist, you never say any bad words. You Baptist, you live different lives." And then he said this. Then this was really funny. Then they said, "But we were wondering." "We were wondering what?" "We wondered, do you Baptists even believe in sex?" Holy Spirit gave me the answer like that. I looked right at both Zeef and Safrir, and I said, "We do not believe in sex until after the fifth child." They looked at each other like, "Is that possible? Boy, the Baptists, really? I don't understand that." And then the girls and I started laughing at them. And then they said, "But no. Why do you live the way that you live?" And high school students, you hear what I'm about to say. For the next hour and a half, we sat in the bananas and we tell them about the Yeshua HaMashiach. We gave them Isaiah 53. We got to go to the New Testament. And for an hour and a half, we told them about their Messiah. "Well, that's great, brother. Oh, that's a great story. How did we get to do that?" "Because we were like them?" "No. Because we had something different than them. And it provoked them to jealousy." "You have what we should have. You have something we don't have." Now you hear me, young person. You don't have to become like the world to reach the world. Because if you become like the world to reach the world, what have you reached them to? You know what? You start being salt and light in a world that's so badly. Yeah, will you get some criticism? Yeah, will you lose some friends? Yes. But there's something more important than your popularity. It's the cause of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, there would be young people that would admire you and respect you. And at the time that they were going through something tough, their parents are getting divorced, something's happening in their life, they're coming to you. Why? Because you've got something different. Friend, you can't make a difference until you are different. And you've got to understand that. If you're going to roll stones away, ask for creativity. You do it with do it with confidence. Number three, do it with character. Number four, and we're done, do it with compassion. Now, you guys have all heard this before, but I just said, it's just the perfect statement. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Now, one of the things I get to do is I get to take our college students to mission trips. Here's Heidi with one of the Ugandan children that we got. And I am telling you this. If you go to a foreign country and you ever go as a missionary, or you ever do a short-term mission trip, let me tell you the one thing that transcends language, and that's love. We went into some of these villages. It was amazing. We went into some of these villages in Uganda, and when they just wanted to be around us. And then we served them, we did things for them, we sang to them. When you show compassion, when you show your heart, I'm going to tell you, it just opens up doors. How do you roll stones out of the way? Well, you do it with creativity. You do it with confidence. You do it with character. But friend, there is nothing that moves stones away better than compassion. The Bible even says, Jude verse 22 and 23, having compassion, making a difference. Young people, you need to start loving the lost.
And we need to realize there is something way more important than a political race going on in our country. There is a battle over the souls of men and women. There is a battle over this generation of young people. And young people, I'm 58-year-old fat white man. I'm not going to be able to reach them the way that you can. You guys can reach your generation. And I'm going to tell you how you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to develop some compassion. And I close with this story. Years ago when I was a teenager, and that was years ago, I do not remember much about my youth. And I don't really remember many messages. But I will tell you, when I was a senior in high school, a guy came. I lived in northern Michigan, a place called Traverse City. And a guy came and preached a week of revival. I don't remember the guy's name. I really don't. I don't remember any of the messages he preached except for the last message. And the last message, he gets up, and I'm 18 years old. It was at the end of my senior year and about ready to go to college. And he gets up and he preaches a message. I have no idea. It may have been John 3:16. He opened the Bible at the beginning of the message. He read some text and he didn't come back to the Bible the rest of the message. Never. Didn't teach us anything from the Bible for the next 45 minutes. He talked about his German Shepherd. He talked about his dog. He told us all these stories about this dog, how this dog was trained and what he did. I think there was a story that the dog saved his life one night, you know, and barking or whatever. I don't remember. But he talked about this dog, all the things the dog could do. And he talked for 45 minutes. He talked about this stupid dog. But he had his laughing. He had his crying. It was like, man, this is the greatest stories. As he comes to the end of the message, he talks about where he lives and that he threw this ball out into his yard and the ball rolled out into the county road that was out in front of his house. And the dog ran after the ball. And when it got to the road, it continued running after the ball and a van came by and hit the dog. For 45 minutes, we'd heard about this dog. And then all of a sudden, it was just, this was not the way we thought the story was going to end. The dog goes running out after the ball, bam! And gets hit by this van. And we go like, oh, no. And I'm going to tell you what happens. There's 400 to 500 people in that church. And you start hearing, and those were the men, okay? The man goes, oh, man, that's a good dog, man. That's a good dog. That's a good dog. People are crying. I'm in the back going, oh, wow. I'm 18 years old, so I can't cry, you know. But I'm going like, oh, man, that poor dog. And then what happens next? Young people, this is 40 years ago. What happens next, I've never forgotten. He comes around the side of the pulpit, and he says this. Shame on you. Shame on you. You can shed tears over a German Shepherd and let Traverse City go to hell? I remember we're all sitting there going, yeah, sorry, man. And young people, that day, as a senior in high school, I said, oh God, what do we think is important in this world? At that point in my life, I had never shed a tear for a lost soul. And I'm crying over a dog? And some of you, you think about your life. What has brought tears to your life in the last month? Does it have anything to do with eternity and the souls of men? I will tell you what will move stones out of the way is when an army of teenagers become compassionate for their neighbors, their friends, their relatives, and their classmates, and their teammates. Give us a room right now of 9th through 12th graders with creativity, with a confidence, with some character that will have compassion. And I will tell you, from now until next youth conference, you'll be leading soul after soul to Jesus Christ. But I will tell you, we need an army of young people that will say, I am ready. I am ready to roll stones out of the way.
Wow.
What an outstanding message from Jim Shetler tonight, and what a great way to conclude Teen Week here on BBN's Conference Pulpit. We listen to the message, How to Roll the Stones Away. Even though the message was primarily to the Christian teen, perhaps the Holy Spirit of God convicted you of your need of receiving the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. If that's the case, we invite you to our chat ministry online, bbnchat.org, bbnchat.org, bbnchat.org. There you'll find available a biblical advisor ready to share God's Word with you this evening.
That concludes your online feature. Now to listen to continuous BBN programming, click Listen Live at bbnradio.org.